raise your hand if you have ever heard the following. You and you alone are responsible for your success, and just work hard and you will be successful. Well, it looks like most of us here. So when I heard this in school, I said, those are the worst reasons to be successful. I don't think I want to be successful. I like working hard at things that I enjoy, but I don't like the fact that I have to toil all alone, without friends, without having fun. This does not seem right. And so I began to wonder, there must be a different formula for success, a different success recipe. And fortunately, I found it. I found a better success recipe that's faster, easier, and more fun. And the secret sauce is social capital. Now, social capital is not a woo-woo idea that I concocted. This is grounded in serious, sound academic research that's emerged from, originated at the University of Chicago. So what is social capital? It is not social media, but it's actually a sociological concept that refers to the intangible, invisible resources and assets that emerge from our social interactions and our relationships. And some examples are networks, norms, trust, reputation, goodwill, all invisible things that you know are important. And research shows that people who are in families, schools, organizations, and communities where there are rich stock of social capital are more likely to be healthier, wealthier, and happier. So the key message is that success is not a solitary activity. Success is a result of our connections and our relationships. So the social capital mantra that I follow and I would offer to you is that investing in the success of other people is essential for our own success. But why should you believe me? So allow me to take you on my journey and share a few milestones on my discovery of social capital. I grew up in India in a military family. And in 1971, the battalion that my father was commanding was deployed for war. And as you can imagine, that's a very stressful situation. So on the eve of their departure, as I stood with my mother and a few families at the railway station and as the train was leaving, one soldier rushed towards my mother, and in typical Indian custom fashion, he bent down and he said in Hindi, "Amma, I have come for your blessings, and I have come to tell you that every soldier is ready and honored to shed our blood for our colonel and our battalion." I was a little taken aback by his passion and his powerful words. And then for years, I contemplated and wondered, the army could not be paying soldiers enough to die so eagerly. So what is it that leaders do to create these relationships of intense trust and loyalty? And over the years, as my father rose in the ranks and to become a general, I had an opportunity to see firsthand how authentic leaders take diverse individuals, create a fighting force with a culture of service before self. And then when he retired, he became a CEO of one of India's largest and most reputable companies. And again, he replicated that now with managers, union, and workers. So I asked him, and I saw what he did. And what he said was that actually it's not the ammunition, not the training, not the equipment. What matters is to design the right structure and create a culture where the right behavior patterns emerge. And then the leader's job, real job, is to invest and nurture their relationships and to harness the power of relationships for success. So I was very privileged. I had an opportunity to see how these relationships matter. But I didn't know the theory. So fast forward, in the late 70s and 80s, when I was studying at the University of Chicago, my advisor, late James Goldman, was actually doing a national huge study, a 10-year study of academic achievement in America. And one of his studies was comparing Catholic schools, private schools, and public schools. And based on a lot of statistical analysis, what he found was that Catholic schools had better academic outcomes, and he attributed that to parental involvement and to the discipline, but to the social capital that emerged from the relationships of the teachers and the parents as they engaged in the same church community. Now, at that time, I didn't have children, so I didn't really comprehend everything he was saying. But I promised him that when I had children, I would actually experiment with that and then share it with the world. So today, I'm really excited to share. It's a work in progress, but I'm still excited to share it with you and also to fulfill my promise. Okay. So now you know what the concept is and where it came from. Now I want to share how we can use it for our benefit. To be successful, we need three forms of capital. We need human capital, which is our degrees, our gender, race, and you know, our attitudes, behavior, our psychological stuff. Then we need financial capital. But the most important thing we need is social capital. These are the relational assets. And actually, we cannot control too much about financial and human, but we have complete control over our social capital. So to be successful, it is not what you know, but who you know, and more important, what they know about you and are they willing to help you? Okay? So the question we need to ask is, why should they help me? So we need to start with the question, how many people have I helped? Not with the question of who is going to help me. Right? So I'm not talking about coming at this from a sleazy, manipulative style where you use people, but I'm suggesting that we come at this from a point of helpfulness and generosity. We come at this from the point of view authenticity and appropriateness, because the biggest givers are the biggest winners. So how can we use this in our day-to-day life? Well, I'm not telling you anything new. You know, we all know that relationships are important. But what I'm offering you today is a framework, a lens. And it's like doing a cataract surgery. So now when you have this lens, you will be able to see these invisible assets. You'll see you were already doing this stuff. So there are three components to social capital. The norms, these are the invisible rules of the game. Trust, which is the emotional element of social capital, and then we have networks, which is the structural element. We need all three. Now, each one is distinct, and we use different tools and research to study these, and we need different strategies to generate these. But I don't want you to worry about the academic research that's going on in Harvard, Stanford, and all these places, all right? Because we don't need to be a heart surgeon to become heart healthy. And relax, you don't need to get a PhD to figure out how to generate and nurture good relationships, right? So what we need to do is to just be mindful. We need to focus on the context. We need to focus on our role, whether I'm a parent, teacher, what my role is in that situation, have conversations and figure out what we need to do that's appropriate, and talk to people and find out whether I'm doing the right thing or not. And if that doesn't work, then all you do is think, what would my grandmother say in this situation? And you will be fine. Okay? So this is a very valuable framework. Now, this framework actually makes life easier to make decisions. So you can teach this to your teenagers, and if they say there's going to be alcohol there, well, you teach them the framework and say, will this action deplete your social capital or increase your social capital? You choose. And this becomes a framework that becomes a tool to make decisions. Now, social capital is a new concept, and a lot of research is going on. And if you look at entrepreneurship, community development, health, even finding mates, getting dates, without social capital, we can't even find our marriage partners. And one of my professors, Edward Lauman at the University of Chicago, is doing the largest study of aging in America. And that's an important thing to remember, because as boomers, while we look at our financial assets preparing for our retirement, we need to also pay attention to our social capital assets, and we may have to reconfigure, reinvest, reevaluate, do all that, because in our old age, financial capital will be important, but our social capital assets may become even more important. So we need to pay attention to that. So there's a lot of research, but I want to focus on three areas that I'm very passionate about. And the first one I'm going to share some personal experiences is about family. And you remember I told you that we were going to do experiments, but I hadn't planned on this. So my most profound lessons in leadership and social capital have come from parenting. When our older daughter, Serena, was in fifth grade, she had already changed five schools. So she was having a very difficult time making friends. So every day when I picked her up from school, she would cry and she would say, I hate school, I don't want to go to school. And it was a very sad situation, right? So any parent who has experienced that or who has had a child who's bullied or marginalized can experience the pain of a parent. So initially, in my military academic fashion, I told her, well, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And if that doesn't work, let's reframe the situation. This is a great opportunity for you to develop your leadership skills. And she looked at me and she said, you must be kidding. I don't even have one friend, and you are telling me I have to do leadership skills? So more crying and more misery. So eventually, I had to come down from my ivory tower, and I decided to use all my knowledge as a social anthropologist, as an organizational scientist, in total quality management, Six Sigma, everything that I knew. And I then thought, what advice did my parents give me when I was at that age? And then I thought, what did I do when I was a kid? Because remember, I'm an army brat, and I had changed 10 schools. So I went back to my childhood and thought, what did we do? Now, around this time, we also had been involved in a near-fatal accident, and all of us nearly died. And that was a life-changing experience for us. And so we decided that we were blessed to get a second chance at life, and we were not going to blow this one. And we were going to do something that was worthwhile and helpful, and we were going to become better people. So we called a meeting, and we said we need to have a vision statement and a mission statement. So we did a meeting, and you know, we said on the vision, we need to do this, have respect, and our kids said we need to have fun. So that became the primary thing. And we wrote a vision statement, which was not about making money, about jobs, or any of that stuff. It was a bigger vision that we are going to do something that will make a big impact in the world. Okay? And then we made a mission, and the mission was friend building. So what do we need to do to build more friendships? We made decisions to change the culture of our family. Okay? So what we did was we became very active in community service activities. That became a very important core element of our family. And we wanted our children to experience the joy of giving. We also, I changed my conversation style. Earlier, I would ask, as soon as I picked them up, I would say, what was your grade? Did anybody get a grade higher than you? Oh, no, what do you need to do to be first in class? These were the conversations. I stopped that. And I began asking, who did you sit with? Did you help anyone? Did you give someone a compliment? Did you appreciate someone? So it changed, and everything changed so fast. We also stopped watching TV. We had more family dinners. We entertained more. And change happens very rapidly. Well, a few weeks later, our younger daughter, Megan, comes back and is crying. And she said that you have destroyed my social capital. And I said, what do we do? Well, when I eat lunch and we don't have a TV, I don't know what happened on the Cosby Show, and I have no more friends. So we said, oh, well, the TV experiment failed. So we renegotiated that, and then we brought that back strategically to build social capital. Okay? So these were daily experiments, and I don't want you to think that this was easy, because parenting is never easy. It's always a challenge, and each child brings a challenge, but it became more fun because we were focusing on solutions. And when we were using this social capital framework, it made our life easier in making decisions. And the kids would say, "Mom, Dad, that was so inappropriate." So we got a lot of practice saying sorry to our kids. So and eventually what started as a crisis, actually we did a lot of activities, they built social capital, they became happier, their academic performance improved, and they both eventually graduated from Harvard. And we never imagined these positive outcomes would happen, because all I was worried about was I didn't want to be known as the parent of the fifth grade dropouts. So the stakes were really high. You know, my reputation was on the line, and that forced me to change. So the moral of the story is the children are learning new things. Parents have to unlearn, and we have a harder job. So it's having fun actually made us happier and more successful. So now let me just focus a few minutes on corporations. In organizations, social capital is critical. Social capital reduces transaction cost, which means that it reduces the cost of monitoring. So for example, in the diamond wholesale trade, they cannot hire enough people to be security guards. So it's critical. So we really need to make social capital a key element of our strategy. And I worked with CEOs and workers and unions, and I saw how essential it was. However, I also saw the downside, and the fallout is big for women. And the negative social capital shows up as clicks, glass ceiling, etc. So now we have a problem for women, where 51% are women, but 18% are in senior leadership role, and it's not a lack of human capital, it's a lack of social capital. Now, I want you to remember just a few things that you learned in kindergarten. Always be connecting. Give and take. That activates the norm of reciprocity. Always be complimenting. Thank you, please. This is the currency of success. Always be contributing. Don't hoard it. In finance, we give. We save capital, it increases. Social capital we give, it increases. And be courageous, because social capital is in our relationships and bonds. When it breaks, we lose it. But when we go back and repair it, it becomes stronger. And always be celebrating, because that is the essential piece, that it's built offline. So fun is very, very important. And finally, I want to offer this to you, because this is a gift I want to give you. Use it. Teach it to your children. Teach it to children in the foster care, children, your colleagues. Share it. And just remember, all you need to do is smile and offer a helping hand. Thank you.